one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Proverbs, that's part of the wisdom literature, isn't it? Job, Psalms, Proverbs. And it's Proverbs chapter 6. And there might be another verse in the Bible and another chapter just like that. Same thing. We might be going to that. Maybe you'll be thinking about which chapter and which book in the Bible that next one would be in. But let's go to the 6th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Now, we're not going to just start with 23. I want you to come back to the 20th verse with me, and we'll get a running start here. And when we get up to it, I think it'll mean more to us. Verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. The law, your mother's law. Your mother got a law? Well, let me say this. The father has a right to issue a commandment because he is the father. And he's a type of the heavenly father. And the heavenly father has a right to tell us what to do. And I believe that the earthly father ought to be as truthful and as firm and yet as loving as the heavenly father. You see, we have a home. We have a father and a mother, and we have children. Now, that's sort of to be a type of heaven that's to come. And the devil has just about wrecked the homes. A little boy said to me today, Brother Roloff, I don't believe I can make it here in my home. I don't believe I can make it here. There's not enough help for me to make it. Isn't it strange that little girls and boys have to look for a home away from home in order to make it? I'm not being critical of mothers and dads. I'm just simply saying we've played family too long. Yes, sir. Mothers and dads have been so full of themselves and so selfish. And this week we read again how they completely deserted their children and let them go. So he said, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, this is what that verse means to me. I have a heavenly father. He gave me a commandment. And I have a mother. You'd say, who's your mother spiritually? I have a spiritual father. I have a spiritual mother. I mean, I'm going to have a mother if I got a father. I mean, it'd be unusual to have a father, not have a mother. So I've got me a spiritual father. That's my heavenly father. And that's the reason I don't call anybody on this earth father. I really don't. You say, you mean if a Catholic priest were to walk in here and he said, I'm father so-and-so, wouldn't you call him father? No, sir, I really wouldn't. You'd say, Brother Roloff, you'd be rude. No, I wouldn't be rude. I'd just be scriptural. Being scriptural sometimes makes you look rude in the eyes of an ignorant world. But neither would I expect him to call me Father Roloff either. I really wouldn't, because that's unscriptural. You listen to me a minute. I could not expect somebody to disobey God in order to honor me. You'd say, well, wouldn't you want him to reverence you? No, sir. I want him to reverence God. He can respect me, and all he's got to do is just call me Brother Roloff or Mr. Roloff, and that's all right. I never fall out with a man. People have apologized to me, said, well, I'm sorry, I called you Mr. Roloff. I said, that's a term of respect. And I would not hold it against you. You remember one day I went to the City of Refuge. I think the girls were with me. And I went up to the men's dormitory, and this old hardcore sinner, he said, "Morning, Mr. Olaf." And the men grabbed him, said, "Don't you call him Mr., call him brother." And he said, he had more sense than somebody, he said, "I can't." He said, "I'm not saved, but I'm not his brother." But listen, before the sun went down, he walked up to me, and with real joy, he said, "Brother Olaf." I looked at him, he said, "I got saved today." He's glad. I was glad to claim him as my brother, too. Yes, sir. Isn't it good to be in a family like that, where we're all brothers and sisters? We ought to treat each other like spiritual brothers and sisters. Now, physical brothers and sisters have a right, and can't keep from it. They have a right to fight because they're just physical. See? They say, "Man, they fight like cats and dogs." Well, they're in the flesh, but listen, spiritual brothers and sisters don't have any right to fight. See, we're already climbed up in a different family now. I mean, we got out of that fighting family, and we moved up in the loving family. You see, a family without Christ have no real love. Therefore, they have... Now, the Bible said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." That's a verse we didn't get to this morning, but "The love of Christ constraineth me." But if a man doesn't have the love of Christ, there's no constraints. That's reading the Holmes in the fixture in today. There's no constraint. I mean, there's no control. You know, man puts a governor on a motor, on an engine, and you can just go 50 miles an hour. If they set the governor at 50 miles an hour, that's all you can go. Now, if man's got sense enough to put a governor on an engine, I believe the Lord could put a governor on us. I believe he could, and I tell you what it is, it's the Bible governor. The Word of God ought to govern us. All right, so I haven't told you who my mother was, that's the Bible. I got born, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if it's an eternal and living and abiding forever, then it must still be. And I believe that my Heavenly Father is my Father spiritually, and the Word of God is my mother. And I got saved through the Word of God. Now, verse 21, "Bind them every Sunday upon thine heart." Now, you're all laughing, aren't you? But that's what the world says, isn't it? Oh, let's go to church. Let's go to church. It makes you feel better. Well, I tell you what. I really believe if you went to the right kind of church and wasn't living right, it'd make you feel worse. It's just so sad that people are so sinful they'd rather go to a dead church than a live church, because it'll never stir them up. It'll never get them disturbed about their sin. He said, "Bind them continually upon thine" what? Head? No, sir. Thine heart. "Tie them about thy neck." Brother, I tell you, that's a picture I hadn't noticed before. In other words, if you're going to get hung with a word. I mean, hang it on you. Hang the word around your neck. "When thou goest..." This is good. "It shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee." That's a good sleeping pill, isn't it? That's the sedative you need right there. "When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee." Ah, the word's alive. It'll talk with you. Now then, verse 23 is one of the texts. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Reckon what happened to the reproving, exhorting preachers. Reproof. We need to be reproved. We'd rather be approved than reproved. I mean, we'd rather be bragged on than to be condemned, even when we're wrong. And so he said, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." All right. Now let's see if that other verse is over here in the book of Romans, isn't it? Same chapter, same verse. Romans 6 and verse 23. The world doesn't believe this anymore, but it's still working just like this. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Every hospital is proving that verse. Every undertaker, every time. You know the little girl that had the wreck? It's reported to me, they said she died. She died in sin, didn't she? Oh, I knew she got an awful blow. I knew that when that car hit that big old concrete pole and nearly knocked it over, and that dust began to fly, and she went against that steering wheel, and her knee went into the dash and almost cut it off, and I knew when I saw her, the little old thing was sitting there, and she said, I need a doctor. I need a doctor. An ambulance came, but she's gone now. I mean, she didn't dream, but she was weaving, either drunk or on dope. What did you talk about? The wages of sin. What did it do? Killed her. She's working for the devil, and he killed her that night. She wasn't old enough to die, but she died anyhow. Would you just let me pause and sit down there by you a minute and just say, aren't you fortunate not to have died when you were living in the world? You remember the things you got into? And aren't you just think, here I am living and I'm alive. The Lord's been so good to me, and I've been through so many close, of course I have too. Even in the service of the Lord, I've been through some real, I mean, I've felt the very breath of death on my neck many a time. It's a horrible feeling. I mean, I'm ready to go, but I'd just like to be around here till God's through with me. And I wouldn't want to die foolishly, even though I've been foolish many times. But just think how thankful we are to be right now that here we are, and we have the right exercise of mind, a measure of health. We're in the house of God. Everything's clean and neat and nice, and Jesus is real, and heaven is sure, and the Bible is so, and here we are right in the middle of all of it. We have a lot to be thankful for. I tell you, we're fortunate. We're just right in the middle of the elect. You know that? And we've already, the election's over as far as we're concerned. If you've been saved, we've already been elected for heaven. And that's the biggest election. I mean, and people said, you know, always talking about who are you going to vote for? Well, I'm going to vote for God, and I'm going to vote against the devil. And, you know, I think it was, who was it? Dr. Scarborough, somebody used to say, talking about election, you know. He said, well, it's election is sort of like this. And I know this is pretty simple, but anyhow, it at least it includes us. He said, the devil votes against me. God votes for me. And the way I vote determines the outcome of the election. At least it'd be 2-1, wouldn't it? I vote for Jesus tonight. And I'm glad he voted for me. And I'm glad that he's for me. So he said, the wages of sin is death. For instance, what do you think about cigarettes? I wonder if we laid a package of cigarettes on your little table in your room tonight, how many of you would see that some would be missing in the morning? And you'd say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. No, except it'll kill you. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Why'd the doctors come out? They just think it's a sin physically. It's a spiritual sin because it's a sin to murder yourself and to commit suicide. You say, you don't really believe, you don't think it's a sin. I know it's sin to smoke cigarettes because it'll kill you. Anybody that smokes a cigarette shortens your life. You hurt your respiratory organs. You bring on emphysema, which is just filth gathering on the inside, and your system can't throw it off. And just like a doctor said, you die and strangle to death in the filth that's accumulated on the inside. That's what he said. Wages of sin is death. It's just death. If you want to die, help yourself. But I tell you, I'd come just as near taking a butcher knife and cutting my throat as I would smoking myself to death. I'd just kind of speed it up a little. I wouldn't want to live like that. I wouldn't want to have to smell the stuff every day. I wouldn't want to have to put a pack of cigarettes in my pocket every day. I wouldn't want to have to smell up my clothes every day. Listen, let me ask you this. Who is the one, who is the offender? Let's be honest about it. Who is the offender? You walk in a hospital room and start smoking. Boy, that's the rudest thing I ever heard of in my life. Man trying to breathe and get well, and there you pumping disease to him. Why, the hospitals haven't got one thimble full of sense that will allow one cigarette to be smoked after a man enters that door. Why, well, it's supposed to be a place where they're getting people well. You can't get well living in a hospital with that kind of filth. I hope they'll never throw me in the hospital, but if they ever do, I'm going to ask them to put me out on top of it. At least I can get some fresh air. I mean, I'm going to stick me out the window a little piece anyhow, see? You say you act like... No, I really am. I just believe people are rude that smoke cigarettes. I believe they're peddling disease. We talk about pollution. Well, we're not going to do anything about pollution until we get rid of cigarettes. Now, I'm going to give you some advice. And I tell you what, you'll hear more about it. See, when I started this, people laughed. Oh, listen, they laughed. I started along this line. Now then, everybody hollering, pollution, pollution. But we're never going to do anything about it. We need to stop a lot of these automobiles from running. Back yonder, you know when gasoline was rationed? Boy, they said, is this trip necessary? I mean, you got your stamps and that's all you got. You got your gasoline. But something needs to happen about these automobiles. And I'm going to say to my radio friends and all of you, don't ever leave your car running. Cut the thing off. I mean, you're just pumping poison in the air. It'll kill anybody. All you got to do is just get in the garage and close up the door. You'll be dead in a little bit. You'll be dead. All you got to do is just take a little while. People commit suicide every day with automobile poison. And yet nobody seems to be concerned. Nobody wants to walk to work. Nobody wants to ride a bicycle anymore. Everybody wants to get in the car. And if there's about, everybody wants to drive all the cars they can drive. Brother, we're killing ourselves. Why don't somebody smarten up and be willing to pay the price and use your exercise legs a little bit and walk to work? A bunch of lazy, greasy Americans dying like flies. Why, sure. Why, we could, listen, we'd cut half of the poison out overnight if the people would just start realizing how serious this thing is. Our whole nation's diseased and physically decayed because nobody wants to do anything about it. The poisons and insecticides and herbicides and all the rest of them that are sprayed, all this junk they spray on the weeds, people don't hoe anymore. Poor little old weed hasn't got a chance. That's right, but I tell you one thing, the soil's begging for some weeds. The weed is the thing that pulverizes the soil and feeds the soil. You can put that down. Ah, listen, you just let a great big generation of careless weeds come right up, and you, those big old juicy weeds, you know, and put them right back in the soil, and that soil will say, thank you, sir. Thank you for that lovely beefsteak you gave me. I appreciate those vegetables you gave me. I really do. Now then, I'll raise you some. Brother, you better listen to me. When you take more out of the soil than you put into it, you're going to face a deficit and an overdraft in the soil. And when you take more out of your body than you put back into it, you're going to face an overdraft. Now, God will forgive you, but Mother Nature never will. The wages of sin is what? Death. You say, wait a minute. Won't you stay with your subject? I'm on it now. I've just come up to gluttony. That kills you. I'm still right in the middle of it. You eat too much, it'll kill you. You eat the wrong thing, it'll kill you. The wages of sin is what? Death. It's amazing how the American people, the biggest eaters and yet the biggest heart attack victims in the world today. You go to the nations where they're starving to death, they never have a heart attack. Never. Doctors put in the paper something that's revealing. I've been looking for it. Didn't know they'd ever publish it. I'm surprised how it got by the doctors and got by the AMA and so forth. There's never been a vegetarian known to have a heart attack. So evidently, the cows are doing a lot to give us heart attacks. I'm not surprised at that. Look how heavy the meat is. Look how greasy it is. And then look what they put in the animals before you ever get it. Look at the antibiotics they get. It's not the plain, pure beef that we used to get that we raised in the pasture, and they just ate plain, healthy grass and Sudan and maize and oats. And now then, everything in the barn and around the barn is poison. And the American people are the sickest people in the world today, according to the reports. Why? Progress. I mean, we got to make the money. We want the chef life. And there you are. You say, I couldn't live. You couldn't live without meat. Well, now I know somebody said, well, I wish you'd stay with the gospel. I'm still on it because the wages of sin is still death. I'm telling you why a bunch of you are so sick and why you're dying. You haven't got sense enough to eat like God told you to eat. You're going to rebel just as sure, and the wages of sin is death about you eating. Go ahead. You say, I wish I could learn. You could learn. The Bible's so simple and precious, and God told us what kind of fish to eat and what kind of animals not to eat. And He told us what is clean and what is unclean. And brother, it's just like that now. And Jesus never did violate His. When they brought Him something, what did they bring Him? They brought Him a piece of honeycomb. I don't see anything wrong with that. I wouldn't mind chewing on that. Amen? Only thing wrong, I'm telling you, sometimes I get stuck all over the plane. But that's the sweet stuff, isn't it? Yes, sir. Listen, I wish I could help God's people. I really do. I just see so much sickness and so forth. I'm going to give a little illustration. I don't know, I'm in the middle of it, but it's just personal. And about the only thing you can really experience is what you experience yourself. You know, for many months, this old right elbow has been trying to get out of action. And if I shook hands with somebody, I had pain all the way up this arm. And I mean, that's my handshaking arm. And I shake hands many a time. And now then, after 11 weeks without one bite of cooked food, I'll guarantee you I can cut your circulation off with that hand right there and never feel a pain. I believe there's just one thing wrong with the American people, and that's nutrition. We haven't fed these bodies, and they're going dead on us. They're dying out. The pipes are corroding, and we're full of pipes. Did you know that? And when those pipes begin to corrode and stop up, and when the bloodstream begins to get filled with filth, a blood clot comes, and a stroke comes, and it's too simple for the doctors to pay any attention. If they can't do it with a shot or a butcher knife or a pill, it's beyond their educational facilities. And I'm just simply saying there's something wrong, and I believe God wants us to keep well. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundant. I'm still on my text. The wages of sin is death. And eating wrong or eating too much will kill you. It'll kill you. Suppose a man wants to drink liquor. Suppose he wants to drink liquor. That's his business. But it'll kill him. In the end, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so it brings on what? Well, I was up at Temple when I was there many years ago. A doctor said, you see that man over there? And I said, yes, my. Look at that awful yellow color that he has. I mean, he said, you see, he's through. I just got through examining him, his liver, cirrhosis. I said, doctor, what does that mean? He said, liquor. The man's been a drunkard. Now then, it's too late to save his life. His liver fails to function, and he's got to die. What did he say? He didn't quote that scripture, but I could have quoted it. The wages of sin, the wages of liquor drinking is death. Go ahead.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, The High Price of Sin. If you would like to receive this message on a CD, we ask that you call for offer number RO-3254-3254 and include $10 to help cover shipping and handling. And the title again is The High Price of Sin. We'd also like to have the call letters to this radio station and today's date. Our address is Eve Roloff, Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, 1-800-772-7507. With Christmas rapidly approaching, our special offer this year is An Old-Fashioned Christmas by the Rebecca Choir and Brother Roloff reading The Christmas Story. Plus, While He Thought, a message about Joseph and Mary at the time of Christ's birth.
Some of the most familiar songs are, "O Come Let Us Adore Him," "O Come All You Faithful," and many, many more. We accept credit cards by calling 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, to receive the music and the message, include at least $15 for the offer. That's $15. And the offer number is RO335-12. Or again, the offer is an old-fashioned Christmas, offer number 335-12, and include a gift of at least $15. Our toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507, and the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping that you all will have a wonderful holiday season, that you can worship and praise Him for His many, many blessings.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.